My name is Martez Card, and today me and my group are going to be talking about chapters 7, 8, 9, 10.
I'm Robert.
I'm Nyala.
I'm Rakitra.
In chapters 8 and 9, they talk about the manipulation of percentages. For instance, you can conceal a loss to potential stock buyers by saying that there is a 3% drop from a previous year rather than the current loss of 23%.
Using percentages to manipulate data is a good thing because, say, 3% is like 300,000 of something. It doesn't sound as bad if you use a percentage instead of the actual number because the actual number is very large, but the percentage is very low.
So reiterating what Rob said and also more explaining about the last chapter, we're talking about how companies manipulate percentages and data to go along with their products.
So I think that it could be beneficial for the company to manipulate their percentages so that they can get a better outcome of the whatever product that they're selling.
Yeah, I think companies do it so that they can make their product look better. And if their product looks good, then a lot of people are going to buy it. Because if they can manipulate the percentages, they can make it into their favor instead of telling the truth by using the actual number, which would probably be bigger than the actual little percentage that it shows.
I admit, as a seller, I would do the same. But as a consumer, I would be mad that I do not know. Like, if I do more research and I find out that if there's a study going on, and then it's released to the public, and we find out that we've been told a lie or, like, not told the full truth. Half the truth is kind of the same as a lie. So I'd be mad as a consumer, and I would probably stop buying from them until they fix what they were saying.
Yeah, it's morally wrong for companies to just make up statistics and stats in order to sell a product. Like, for example, you can't put out any drugs to say you're going to cure cancer and when you can't even cure the common cold.
Mm-hmm. Like, there was a study a year or two ago about how people have false advertising on the writing of their products. So for food companies, they're like, oh, this has this in it, or this is good for, or how the food labels, how people have specific food labels administer for the products, like all natural, 100% dairy free, or something like that. You need to have specific requirements to meet that. But in the consumer world, in the seller-consumer world, where it's more than just food products, and it's buying insurance or other things, such as a laptop, there's not really specific requirements that you have to have in your advertising. And that's kind of sucky for the consumers.
Yeah, sometimes you could just sell certain things because people don't really care about percentages, because if it costs a lot of money, they're going to automatically assume that it's going to work. And it's going to be perfectly fine, no defects. They don't really care about any percentages of what went wrong with the product.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you have an advertisement saying that it works like 99% of the time or something like that. Because something like hand sanitizer, which always says, oh, it kills 99.9% of the germs, it's not always possible.
And you're not really sure, like, the fraction of it, like, how many times out of whatever. Maybe that's just the average, but how many trials did it take to achieve the average is what you do not know.
Which brings me back to my point that percentages are better than using the actual numbers, because if they put a set number of people who they tested, the number could come out to be a million is that 1%, and you never know.
But also, there's a problem for both of them, because if people talk about percentages, they do not actually justify or use a specific thing for where that percentage is exactly explaining. They just get the percentage and another sentence that is, again, half the truth of what they're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which means people just need to do their research on the product before they buy it.
Or the companies just need to be, like, true to their word. I mean, like,
Mean what they say,
or say what they mean.
But see, if the companies do that, it's a high chance that they're going to lose money, and they don't want to lose money. So that's why they
can fix their products, and we can stop having obese people, or people who are sick, or different things like that, for, like, food things, or for, like, insurance. We can have people who are losing money or going bankrupt because of people who use an insurance. They aren't honest in their ways, and then if they fix that, then the economy would be more stable than it actually is. Like, there's a high range between, like, the rich and the poor, so.
Which brings us back to what Rob said in the last discussion, that people need to do their research so then they won't be fooled.
It also kind of goes back to saying that, you know, you never know what the 90% or the 80% is. Like we were talking about the last time, you never know the people that they test or whatever.
Rob, can you reiterate what you were saying last time or explain it more?
Yes, consumers need to do their research because companies are only going to put out facts that help them sell products. To get all the facts, you have to do your own research and find hidden things about products, such as how many times it doesn't work or the bad side effects of a product.
And the actual number instead of just a percentage, because if you see an actual number, it's going to make you reconsider, and you might tell somebody else, and then it's going to help other people choose the right product.
When you are comparing the performance of two classes, you want to use the mean. You use this method of average because it is affected by all the data, while the mean and mode are less affected by small or large outliers.
One of the questions that we were asked is, when we see an average reported, what do we need to ask besides which kind of average is being used and why?
And so when we heard this question, an automatic thing that we had thought of was that you need to know the type of data that you're testing, the range of the data, and how many data sets are used, like the number of examples are being used. We also need to know why the average is being used instead of another average. Like, what makes this average so important and imperative to use?
What or who makes up the average is also a great question, because you never know what it's being tested on or who it's being tested on. Does it work for everybody? So you have to make sure that whatever average that you're getting, that it's for... what group is for? Is it for a specific group or is it for everyone?
And to get more specific about this, the only way to know like what you need to know besides the average is to find out based on which different averages are being used. And we're going to elaborate on that. For example, not all data averages have a mean, median, or mode.
When the data is skewed, you can't use the mean. You have to use the median.
To sum up what we were just saying, the mean, median, and mode are three types of different averages. So based on your data, like Mercutio told us, if your data is skewed, you can only use the median and not the mean. So
also when it comes to averages, the IQR is something really important, because you need to know how to separate the outliers in the data and how that will affect your average and the things that you're going to get out of it.
And another thing is that when dealing with IQR, you need to know what each section means, like quartile 1, quartile 2, quartile 3. You need to know
the minimum, the maximum, the average, the five-number summary, basically.
And there's a difference in outliers, because there's one where it's just the average outlier, another word for average, and there's a way out there outlier.
So something that we used is central tendency. So we just wanted to give you the definition of that. Central tendency is the measure of a central value for a probability. Basically, the average, again, just another word for it.
For example, in a class of five in which three people finish with a 65 and the others finish with an 80 and 90, the mode and median lead you to believe that the class of kids is barely passing. But when you use the mean, it shows you that they are receiving a 73, which gives you that each student is getting near a C. The mean uses all the data from the statistic, while the other two ignore two crucial data points.